Welcome to the Department of Justice Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos.
Hello and welcome to the show. My guest is Greg Hall, the Chief Information Security Officer of the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorneys at the Justice Department. Our topic is the range of cybersecurity activities, and I understand those activities align with how the office is organized.
Basically, our organizational structure effectively seven program verticals, and those program verticals span from our security operations center all the way to forensics and investigations and everything in between, which would include things like our risk management practice, our security architecture and engineering practice, our insider threat prevention and detection program, our governance policy and compliance program, as well as what we're referring to as our cybersecurity lines of business, which are actually IT security services that we're delivering to the U.S. Attorney's offices. And so all of the project initiatives, IT initiatives, cyber initiatives that we go out and procure and deploy and support within those program verticals, I oversee, and that's what constitutes our cybersecurity portfolio.
And these portfolio elements each generate data. And tell us about the data strategy such that you can leverage the data that they all produce to help one another and get a bigger, more accurate situational awareness for cyber across the office.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so I think everyone today, whether you're in the commercial sector or you're in the government sector, we're all dealing with big data and we're all dealing with large data sets and trying to make sense out of these data sets, try to derive intelligence from these data sets. And so to your point, within each of these program verticals, we're both consumers of information. We're also producers of information. And so the idea here is to basically take this information, and it's very much like what the IC was doing when they were pulling together what's referred to as the Intelligence Community Information Technology Enterprise. And so they fused these data sets on the back end, and the idea was to connect the dots, right, to derive something intelligible and to take action. And so it's the same concept here in terms of taking these data sets that are produced within the solutions, the IT security solutions that are deployed within these program verticals, and moving that data to a platform on the back end that can store this data, that can index this data, that can organize it, tag it, and make it optimized for searching, for access, and for understanding what's out there, for understanding the relationships and understanding what's normal activity with respect to this data and how it's transported, how it's accessed, how it's viewed, et cetera. And so we're taking these data sets from these different program verticals. We're moving it to a back end. We're developing out that back end for optimization in terms of access, analytics, retrieval, et cetera. And then the folks that are taking a look at this data are what we've called basically our fusion cell. And the fusion cell is comprised of individuals from these different areas, i.e., we've got a pen tester, we've got a forensics analyst, we've got a governance policy compliance analyst, we've got a security architecture engineering analyst, we've got other analysts in there that can bring together their view and do the collaboration and understand if there's relationships that need to be acted on with regards to the data. If they're seeing things in there that might pose a cybersecurity risk or a cybersecurity issue that we need to investigate further, and then we can take either a specific piece of data or we can take other pieces of data that might relate to that and see if there's some relationship that might give us some concern for us to take further action or do additional analysis. So an example, if you take the Security Operations Center, we deal with thousands of data data points every day, right? That could deal with something something like unauthorized access, or if we've got a denial of service happening, or if we've got improper usage on a computer, or if we've got a national security information spill. When we have about 10 or 11, 12 different topics that we track within our Security Operations Center, well, there might be something also happening within the forensics and investigations area when we're taking a look at a particular computer and we're doing an image of that particular computer and seeing if there's any relationship to what we might be seeing within the SOC and these security incidents. There also may be something that might relate to this activity on the endpoint itself. And so within Security Architecture and Engineering vertical, we deploy our endpoint protection platform, and we're able to detect advanced threats, zero days, those kinds of things, malware. And there may be a relationship between what the security operations center is seeing with that particular incident, what the security architecture engineering folks are seeing with regards to endpoint telemetry data, as well as what we might have seen with regards to forensics. And so it's, again, trying to understand the relationship with these data elements and understanding if there's something happening, if there's something anomalous out there that we need to investigate further, and trying to derive intelligence and understanding if this is a cybersecurity issue that we need to take action on.
And is your security operations center a physical place? And then the follow-on to that is you've described a fusion of this with different sets of data and with different types of experts. Is there a physical fusion center, or is that more of a virtual construct?
Yes and yes. So it's actually, they're both physical. So our security operations center is physical. It's actually co-located with our network operations center in South Carolina, which is our primary data center. So we're also part of the department's core enterprise facilities. That's part of the data center consolidation effort. So there are effectively three primary data centers, and that would be the one in Pocatello, which is one of the core enterprise facilities, the one in Clarksburg, and then our primary data center, which is in South Carolina. And so our SOC is there, and they're able to work with the network operations centers. And there's a lot of synergy, a lot of transparency by doing that, by having these teams co-located and being able to understand what folks might be seeing on the network relative to operational activities, and then taking that and kind of correlating that to what our security folks are seeing and understanding if there's any relationships that need to be further investigated. With regards to the fusion cell, that's actually up here in Washington, D.C. It's a subset of the SOC, and it's actually what I'm referring to as a higher tier of skills that are here, and these folks are able to do higher levels of analysis and investigation. They're able to do threat hunting and those types of maybe what you refer to as tier two, tier three type activities within a security operations center. But we've specifically codified it as a fusion center because of the idea of bringing together different people from different program verticals that provide unique perspectives, that bring together a unique understanding of their specific data sets. And then they can collaborate and have these discussions as it relates to these data sets being aggregated, and then trying to do analytics to understand, again, the relationships and what's happening out there with within our U.S. Attorney's environments.
Greg Hall is Chief Information Security Officer of the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorneys at the Justice Department. We'll return after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
At Leidos, we have supported the U.S. Department of Justice for more than 40 years with unwavering commitment. The department takes on the toughest public safety and law enforcement challenges, and they don't take risks when it comes to technology and legal expertise. From enterprise IT modernization and litigation support to strategic communications and cybersecurity, Justice counts on Leidos to deliver innovative solutions. Learn more about our shared mission at leidos.com/DOJ.
Welcome back to our interview with Greg Hall, Chief Information Security Officer of the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorneys at the Justice Department. And with respect to the Homeland Security Department and its CDM and continuous monitoring programs, how does all of this relate to those government-wide efforts?
Well, it's interesting, that DHS just released a new contract, right, a very large contract to have new dashboards built out. Within the department, we have our own dashboard. It's referred to as the Security Posture Dashboard Report. This comes out weekly every Monday. The CIO and myself take a look at this. It has a number of metrics that are tracked within this dashboard, everything from secure configuration management to antivirus updates to unauthorized software or unsupported or end-of-life software, et cetera. And so all of these things give us an idea of what our cybersecurity risk posture is. And then we're able to collaborate with the department in the Justice Management Division or other components relative to what we're seeing. That also goes all the way down to the U.S. Attorney's offices. So each of them have their own dashboard, which has effectively 9 different views. And then those U.S. Attorney's offices and their IT staff review this on a regular basis and can understand what's specifically happening within their environment. We've also initiated a cybersecurity risk management campaign based on the data that we're seeing, and as well as other specific factors like having an SCCM agent or a McAfee agent or a BigFix agent on there that are key to providing telemetry data for us and really understanding what risks exist today within devices that are on our network or possibly haven't been connected to our network in a while, and then we're able to take action to quarantine these devices until they become compliant. So there's been a lot of movement that's really come about as a result of these dashboards and the ability to actually have measurements or metrics that give us an idea of where we need to focus on based on our cybersecurity health and our risk posture.
And with all of this data coming in, being stored, being analyzed, being fused, what's your strategy for what data you need to retain for how long? What data is only useful for a certain amount of time, then you can discard it? Because otherwise, you end up with petabytes just building up forever.
Sure. I think, certainly we want to be in compliance with NARA and, whatever the record schedules say that are required relative to keeping the data. But I think there's data that we need that needs to be online and readily accessible that supports operational issues, and there's data that needs to be archived. And I think we're still trying to figure that out in terms of what's optimum. I think with regards to storage, it's insatiable. We never can get enough. And I think, between what we're able to do on-premise and in the cloud, we're continuing to expand our data storage capabilities as well as understanding, how we manage that data. I would say, with regards to the U.S. attorneys, we have a voluminous amount of data that's produced as a result of e-discovery, and that's a big challenge for us.
And of course, justice and U.S. attorneys, as you mentioned just a moment ago, cloud is becoming a bigger part of everybody's computing infrastructure. And what's your strategy for making sure that the cybersecurity programs that you have for the vertical areas within your cybersecurity operations extend to cloud providers, which could be commercial entities that have got their own ways of working?
Sure. Well, we've got a fairly large footprint in the cloud today. We have quite a few initiatives within AWS. We're also moving to Office 365 within Azure for our email platform. That'll be part of the multi-tenant email services that the department's providing. And so we have quite a few services there. We have a number of litigation applications that are basically software as a service applications that we provide to the U.S. Attorney's offices. We also provide a number of cybersecurity services in the cloud, one of which is identity and access management. So we're able to extend that service to our U.S. Attorney's offices and provide things like identity governance administration as well as multi-factor authentication. And of course, when we're looking at those services or third-party services or commercial cloud services, they also have to be FedRAMP compliant. They have to be NIST compliant. And so there is a mechanism, a business process that ensures that as we're delivering these services, that they go through the appropriate compliance framework, and that the assessments are done, and that we understand what issues there may be with regards to vulnerabilities or security configuration issues and remediation that's required that might constitute a plan of action milestone, and we ensure that those things are taken care of throughout the life cycle of the system. So we very much acknowledge the cloud environment. We're again readily moving services to that environment. It's going to be a mix, I think, of stuff that we can extend possibly from on-prem, as well as looking at what commercial cloud providers can provide within the cloud itself, as well as third-party application providers. And we're doing all of that. In fact, we looked very heavily at the CASB capabilities within the cloud. That gives us some visibility in terms of compliance and where the data is and where it's moving to. And so we're looking at continuing to build on our security capabilities within the commercial cloud environment. And that would be a key one for us.
And you touched briefly on identity, credential, and access management, ICAM. And is that moving toward becoming a cloud-provided type of service?
Well, partly. So we have our Identity Governance Administration and our Okta, our multi-factor authentication platform, that's hosted in the cloud. But in terms of the credentials themselves, that's still managed on-premise. So the PIV credentials, the PIV-I credentials, and even PIV-C that we're looking to develop and issue, those are all managed on-premise and within the core enterprise facilities.
So the hybrid nature of cloud on-prem extends to some of the programs and verticals and applications like ICAM?
Sure. I mean, it really spans a broad mix of services, not only ID and access management, but other, you know, other mission specific applications and support services that you know could be provided in the cloud. So I think, you know, the importance of ICAM is, regardless of where the data is, regardless of where the application is that, you know, the multi-factor authentication requirement is there. So whether it's mobile and looking to, you know, implement certificate-based access to now support mobile platforms, or if it's on-premise or if it's in the cloud, being able to use the PIV card to authenticate, you know, to the network or the CAT card, that's, you know, that's the requirement. And that's, you know, that's what we're moving to, and that's what we get measured by.
And in the cyber area, how do you work with the FBI? Because as an agency, you know, they're the cops and U.S. attorneys are the prosecutors, and so there's that relationship. But at the technical operational level as a department, how does the FBI figure in? Because they also have a pretty robust cyber unit themselves.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'll give you a great example. So just yesterday, we hosted a Splunk training event. This was the second one that we hosted, and it was in partnership with both the Justice Management Division and the FBI. And so we were able to bring in other components and folks from their Security Operations Center, as well as people that are Splunk developers within those components, and provide advanced instruction. And so I think that allows us to kind of cross-pollinate use cases and what we're doing with Splunk within our own specific areas, and try to understand how there might be ways to take advantage of some ideas or implementation nuances that helps each component out. And that's just one area. I think you probably are aware that, you know, the FBI has their own, you know, Security Operations Center. You know, we have our own Security Operations Center. The Justice Management Division has their own Security Operations Center. There's tight collaboration between those folks, which is absolutely necessary, because they're really on the edge. They're really seeing everything that's coming into our environment and going out. And so there needs to be cooperation and transparency. And if there is an event that's happening that one Security Operations Center sees, and it's important that they have the ability to real-time share information that might be necessary to containing a possible cyber event. So there's a strong relationship there. Of course, to your point, you know, within the litigation and law enforcement side of the house, you know, they're actually providing, you know, a large amount of data to us in support of e-discovery and actual prosecution. So there needs to be the ability to, you know, take that data and sufficiently protect the data once we get it. And then as we're producing our products vis-a-vis e-discovery, ensure that information is secure once it's then, you know, delivered to the defense counsel. So there's a whole set of capabilities that we have in place to do that, principally our encryption platform and being able to secure, you know, removable media or optical drives, or even using a cloud service like Box.com, being able to do secure file sharing and collaboration. So there's a number of ways that we're able to receive data from the FBI and then subsequently share that with defense counsel as part of our Brady-Giglio obligations and litigation efforts.
Greg Hall is Chief Information Security Officer of the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorneys at the Justice Department. We'll have more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
At Leidos, we have supported the U.S. Department of Justice for more than 40 years with unwavering commitment. The department takes on the toughest public safety and law enforcement challenges, and they don't take risks when it comes to technology and legal expertise. From enterprise IT modernization and litigation support to strategic communications and cybersecurity, Justice counts on Leidos to deliver innovative solutions. Learn more about our shared mission at Leidos.com/DOJ.
Welcome back to the final segment of our interview with Greg Hall, Chief Information Security Officer of the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorneys at the Justice Department. And I wanted to ask you about the human capital side of all of this, because reskilling is a big effort across the government, getting people more aware of cyber, the cyber talent that's needed. What's your human capital or personnel and training strategy to make sure that you have within the attorney's executive office the capabilities you need in cyber?
Well, it's a great question, and it's actually a really good time. And in fact, we just completed our investment review board, which is our annual venue to assess new IT initiatives as well as resourcing. And so I was actually able to get three additional government employees, as well as recently hiring an information system security manager and a governance policy and compliance manager. So I'm actually going to have five new staff on board here within the next 2 months, which is huge for me. And that will really significantly bolster the government aspect of resourcing for the cybersecurity program. And then on the contracting side, it's equally important. And we've been fortunate to have some fairly longstanding contracts with really, really smart folks that have delivered some amazing solutions, particularly within the identity access management space. And so it's critically important that we get these folks and that we continue to train them and retain them as these data solutions become more complex, as these IT solutions become more complex, and the need for integration is always going to be there. And so it's important that we develop this knowledge capital. There's a big focus now with OPM. They've implemented the NICE framework, which is a focus on the cybersecurity skill sets and codification of skills and different types of areas that are specifically called out as being unique to cyber. And so I've rewritten our position descriptions to be consistent now with the NICE cyber framework. And that gives us the advantage now to be a little more specific when we go out and actually hire people and we're putting out a vacancy announcement. We can be more specific about cyber skill sets that are necessary. We actually have direct hiring authority for bringing on cyber folks for to fill cyber positions. So there's a great emphasis on it, and I think they're trying to assist us as best as they can with changing policy to allow us to bring on folks more expediently and to make sure that we've got the right language in these position descriptions and vacancy announcements so that we're recruiting the right talent. And then ultimately, being able to incentivize and keep these people and retain them. And I think that at some point that that will probably be addressed as well, whether it's vis-a-vis accelerated pay schedules or bonuses or training or a combination of all of that that allows us to effectively compete with other people that are looking for those same cyber professionals.
Yeah, I guess the mission, say the Justice Department mission, can get them in initially, but you need a little bit more than that over time to retain them. I think a lot of agencies are finding.
Yeah, I think so, Tom. I think it's kind of comes down to a quality of life issue, and I think there absolutely is a unique aspect to our mission. It's a very well-respected mission. I think there's our history here, our culture is one that is one to be very proud of. I think prosecuting folks that are potentially dangerous to our country or to our environments, prosecuting cyber criminals. I mean, I think you hear in the news now we've been very involved, very active in that area, indicting folks, state-sponsored folks, whether they're from China or Russia or Iran, looking at cyber criminals and looking at the impact that we're having. So we're very active in that area, and it's a very intriguing mission. It's very compelling to be a part of that. So I think we certainly can take advantage of that in terms of our marketing efforts to recruit top talent. But you also have to retain those folks, and you have to train them. You have to make sure that they're continually relevant because the technology changes so rapidly.
Greg Hall is Chief Information Security Officer of the Executive Office of the U.S. Attorneys at the Justice Department. To hear this interview again, find it at federalnewsnetwork.com, search Agency in Focus. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Department of Justice Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.